Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Prepared Mindset. Josh is actually sitting in with me, live and in person.
In the flesh.
In the flesh. Yeah, which we haven't done this. I didn't think it had been that long. You said it was probably almost a year now. We've been doing it remote.
Yeah, since I was actually here in the super cool studio.
Now that it's actually got like walls and stuff and like,
yeah, you took the Punisher flag down.
I did. I put up a Feral Concepts flag.
it looks better.
The Punisher flag's on the couch behind you.
Yeah. It could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was last September, maybe I think end of September after we went to HTA in Pennsylvania and we did our review. I think that was the last time I was in person here too.
I want to say it was sooner than that, but as I'm thinking about it, like I think you've just been over here sooner than that. I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just looking at your gear locker.
Yeah. There's been a few things. So, and it's actually been 2 months, 3 months since you've been on.
Is it August?
It is, yeah, mid-August.
I'm going to guess three, because I think it was May when we did our last episode. It was before
the last episode was right after the Orion class.
Yep.
We did like a debrief that Thursday or something when I got back from traveling for work.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's been a hot second. We got plenty of stuff to get into. We actually made a list just so we didn't forget anything. But before we get into this week's discussion, as always, you guys, this is a sponsored podcast. So if you're a Patreon patron, want to say thank you. You guys actually got a couple notifications in the past week or two. Here's some more, you know, more folks signing up for that. Really cool opportunity. If you guys are looking for a way to support what we do here at Prepared Mindset, that's additional access to content, videos, exclusive episode recordings, downloadable drills, targets, and everything that you guys put forth there in the Patreon comes back to supporting the podcast here so we can keep doing the things that we're doing. Additionally, if you guys are looking for some swag, we do have a Spreadshirt shop. You guys can get set through our link tree that's on our Instagram profile. So whether it's a t-shirt, hoodie, hat, apron, I think we got tote bags, like all kinds of just... The nice part about some of those third-party services is we just load up the the designs and they can kind of take it from there. But a lot of stuff going on over there, and if you guys want to support us or grab some swag, that is a great, great way to do it. Now, in addition, right, to our Patreon supporters and, you know, obviously the Spreadshirt shop and some of the small things that we do here to keep the lights on, so to speak, we have some awesome partners in the industry. And guys, we totally understand, you know, how hard you work for your money. And we want to make sure that we direct you to some companies that do outstanding work, as well as also provide some outstanding products and services. So with that, I want to start by saying very much thank you to our friends, our partners over at Custom Night Vision. You guys, their website is customnightvision.com, and they are your one-stop shop. And I say that all the time, but I really do mean it. If you're looking to get into night vision or maybe upgrade your night vision. So get out of a single tube and purchase something like, you know, some RNVGs, DTNVSs, the new MH1 from Lowlight Innovations. They have all of those options in stock with white FOSS, green FOSS tubes, you know, Elbit, Photonis, and you guys can even do housing swaps. So something that we're going to get into in this discussion actually is talking about housing swaps. If you guys are running a PVS-14 and you don't want to spend a whole bunch of money buying a whole new unit, you can actually get a hold of the team over at Custom. Again, the website is customnightvision.com. There's a chat function built right into the website, and you can talk to Ben or Kevin or one of the dudes over there, Trevor, at Custom Night Vision, and talk to them about the setup that you have and the setup that you want and how to make those two ideas meet. It's a really, really cool option that I don't honestly see a whole lot of people taking advantage of, but like I said, we're going to talk about it. And guys, if you are, like I said, looking to get into your first night vision rig, highly, highly recommend you check the website out. If it's a single tube setup like the Tonto from Nocturne, or maybe just just another PVS-14, a lot of guys want to turn their nose up at the single tubes, but man, I'll tell you what, I've absolutely loved the time that I had with mine. Josh, you ran yours for what, 2 years?
2 years with my own unit, and 6 years now that I've been training just with a single tube. It'll do it.
Yeah, you get so much out of it. And if you have questions, if you really don't know for sure if that's what you want, right, talk to the guys at Custom. They can answer the clarifying questions. Is green worse than white FOSS? Is, you know, FOM the most important, you know, number that you're supposed to look at on your stat sheet? Any questions that you guys have, they're there to answer it for you. Make sure that you guys have the most transparent buying experience that they can provide. And additionally, if you guys are in need of helmets, mounts, flashlights, lasers. They literally are from 0 to 1, your destination to get a complete night vision setup. That's customnightvision.com. Also want to say thank you to the team over at HRT Tactical Gear. You guys, Josh and I have both actually been running the Arc Belt system for the past, we got yours, what, earlier this year?
Yeah, January, I think.
January, yeah. And I've been running one since October of last year. Love the Arc Belt. Very, very light, super rigid, and does a great job spreading out all of the weight. So when you're carrying loaded mags, a med kit, pistol, it really does a good job of spreading that weight around. You're not, you know, you're not feeling it on one side or the other, or getting a sore back after an hour or two, like some of the other options out there on the market. You guys, you can head on over to HRTTacticalGear.com, check it out for yourself. They got armor on the website. They have carriers like their LBAC and their rack. Guys, all kinds of good stuff going on. Again, it's HRTTacticalGear.com. Check it out for yourself and grab some gear today.
I'm actually wearing their inner belt right now.
Are you really?
Yeah, I just realized. I wear it with my uniform.
With your uniform? Yeah. I like their inner belt. It's good stuff. Yep. Very, very light and hardly noticeable,
it's
honestly.
It's rigid. It's good. It's a good concealed carry belt.
Agreed. Yep. I love it. Also, guys, got to say thank you to 100 Concepts. Man, 100concepts.com is the website, and these guys are crushing it. The light caps, the scope caps, the scope cap pro, like there's just so many solutions to address common issues in your camouflage setup. So whether you're talking about scope glint, I don't even know if I'm allowed to use that word. I know that's very Call of Duty. You have to address like -5 glint. But in all seriousness, and we've had Jonah on the podcast a while back where we talked about this, it's a real problem that people need to address when they're setting up camouflage. And that's where the scope caps, the light caps, the pro caps, the hex cap series, I'm sorry, that all comes into play along with their other solutions like their pack scrim, like their helmet scrim. And they have additional options for you guys like their Sling Hook 2.0 and their Chem Light kit and their Fife Loop. Just all kinds of really good stuff going on, you guys. The website is 100concepts.com. Head over, check it out for yourself, and pick up some gear. Support an outstanding small business. And last but not least here, I want to say thank you to RMA Armor. Website is rmadefense.com, and the discount code is Prepared Mindset 5. And I'm going to make it through this ad without saying RMR because I keep catching myself.
You keep doing it. I forgot to text you about it. I've heard it in two episodes.
I keep saying it's RMA Defense. And guys, if you're looking for armor, and you really should be if you're worried about things that are kind of on the rise in the next couple months here, and we all know we're talking about the election, but I digress. Head on over to rmadefense.com. Check out their level 4 plates, which I believe are still on sale at this point. You're not going to get a better deal. They're a little bit heavy, yes, but the protection is worth it. Guys, it's rmadefense.com. Check out everything they have going on, from helmets to plate carriers to armor. And again, discount code PREPAREDMINDSET5 is going to save you 5% off your order. Okay, I made it. I didn't say RMR.
Without a cut.
Yeah.
See, when we do these in-person recordings, there's no cut between let's get to the conversation.
Yeah, there's no static. Like, I'll just edit that out and post.
He did it all one take. Proud of you. You've had some practice.
Yeah, I've done this a few times over the years. So yeah, man, let's get into, actually, I don't know if I find my list here of stuff we wanted to talk about. I guess probably the first thing is like, you've not been on for, what did we just said?
Three months,
yeah. Yep. So
quarter of a year.
What?
A quarter of a year.
Yeah, one whole business quarter, fiscally speaking.
I was only gone for 1 month, but I feel like I've sort of been here, but not, my voice hasn't been here.
Yeah, there's been, we've had some really good guests and everything. Things get busy, things pick up.
Yeah.
In addition to that, there's obviously like life things that happen. I think, because you got a new job in like March?
Beginning of April.
Okay.
Yeah. So I had just been getting settled into that. And I think it's why we started recording more remote. But no, I think we've been doing remote recordings for way longer.
Yeah. It's just easier.
Yeah. I just went to a little class at Uncoiled a week or two ago.
Yeah.
And it was funny. I said I was, you know, I work with Austin at Prepared Mindset, and the instructor of the class like knew about the podcast, and I said I was a co-host, and he looked kind of confused. I don't know how long he's been listening, but if I say that and I haven't been on for 3 months, like that's a good chunk of time that somebody might've been listening to the podcast and still never heard my voice. So
yeah, so that's,
hi, I'm Josh.
That's like 15 episodes.
Yeah, dude.
16, I think, because I did a sit rep when Trump got shot.
Yeah.
Or I mean,
you've done it. Yeah, you've done a few sit reps and a good bit of time that, established, I would say, by now, listeners in the last 3 months still haven't heard me. So
right.
They're going to stop listening after this episode.
Like, oh, who the fuck is this guy? Turn it off next. So like you said, for one of those, you were, now I was going to call it a deployment.
Thank God. I heard you say that before we started recording.
I'll say it now. You were on a deployment. And that was not. But, so I didn't know. I mean, I know it was something for your role with the National Guard. You were on a rotation.
It's a training rotation. Deployment is the real thing. And I would not be home if I was deployed 3 months ago or 2 months ago.
So you went to Louisiana.
Louisiana. Or the home of Orion Training Group.
Yeah.
And the toilet bowl of the United States.
I was just going to say, like, from your experience you said you had down there, like, are you in a hurry to go back?
No. I hope I never go back. Dude, I have been to the desert multiple times, California twice, and then Eastern Washington in the summer is pretty hot. Like, it's a good desert environment. Mm-hmm. They call it, the one in Washington, we called it Yakistan. So it's called Yakima Training Center, but it simulated Afghanistan. Really rocky. Yeah. And I wouldn't say mountainous, but like good amount of hills and rocks that you're climbing up and down. Lots of sagebrush. I hadn't been in the swamp since basic training. That was in Georgia in 2018. And I knew that I got spoiled being in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
We got rained on a lot, but there was like no bugs. It would never really get... it got cold and there was snow a few times, but you mainly just got used to being wet. Like, it rained on you all the time. Mm-hmm. And then the summer, it was like the best training environment you could get. So I was kind of just biting the pillow going down to Louisiana, knowing that it was going to be how these big rotations go. It's usually big. It's more of a unit exercise as far as like the brigade and the battalion. Like, so infantry layout, like we're in an infantry company that is in a battalion of a bunch of companies that makes up our battalion. And then there's the brigade that is multiple battalions, right? So this is like a big brigade exercise with logistics support, the fuelers, the water people, the people that are given food and ammo, like all that is working. And that's where the real training is focused when you go to these big training events.
Okay.
So us as the grunts kind of get shafted. Like, we did a live fire, which was cool. But besides that, the rest of our training was just sucking.
For
2 weeks.
But you were gone for... What?
So we were gone for a month. You get there and the first 5 days or so is prep. And then you go out for 2 weeks and then you come back and you break it down and clean up for a week or so. And then you're home. So it's just short of a month because the military doesn't like paying soldiers the extra pay once you hit 30 days.
You did tell me about that.
Yeah, that's not a guard thing. That's a big army thing. It was like that on active duty too. It was the most you're always gone for like 29 days because then they have to pay everybody more and they don't like to do that.
Right. So that sounds fucking awful. And being,
like, I could go a whole episode talking about reliving the stuff that I probably have already told you.
It was June. So it was starting to get warm up here in Michigan.
Yeah. We got there end of May. I think it was the 29th or 30th that we actually landed and immediately getting off the plane. It was just 100% humidity. Sun was going down, but it was still really hot. I was like, oh God, it's going to be a good one.
Oh God. That sounds fucking just miserable. And to like not do anything like of real, I want to say value, but like, it's not like you're like, hey, we're going to go down here and like, we're just going to be able to shoot guns and do like training the whole time. It was not that kind of trip.
Yeah. I mean, that's life though. That's real life. I mean, I never liked the miniseries Generation Kill until I was in the military.
I've never seen it.
You should watch it. It's the Iraq war, like initial push into Iraq from the Marine perspective. And they have like bottom end equipment. Their night vision doesn't have batteries. Like, they need grease for their machine guns and they're not getting it. Like, it was boring to me as a teenager watching it. Cause I liked Band of Brothers and the Pacific, like World War II, huge land conflict where the infantry is just pushing through the trenches and constant like crazy action. And warfare has changed, and maybe some of that older, like World War II stuff, is a little more dramatized. I think they got it probably pretty right from a lot of the historical research done on those specific conflicts. But Generation Kill gets it just in that, in the title, it gets you into the generation of millennials in 2003 that were sent to Iraq, and it just gets down to the absolute boredom and banter that goes on.
See,
and then the combat is mixed in with that, and I love it now.
People tell me that show is why modern Marines are the way they are.
Probably, but also modern Marines, so in that show in 03-04, those were the privates in that show were the NCOs and the junior leaders and the squad mm-hmm. leaders and platoon leadership to the new guys that were my age coming in.
Yeah.
You know, in let's say 2015 to 2018.
Right.
All of my leaders right. were early GWAT guys, like the staff sergeants that had been in for 10 years, you know?
Yeah.
Even then, like, that's older. Even now, the big SAR majors and everything that you see usually are like 90s, and now we're getting closer to the high enlisted being 9/11 vets, which is pretty interesting
guys
to see.
That enlisted right after September 11.
Yep.
Which we're, I mean, coming up on.
Yeah.
Which is always kind of like a weird time of year. I always see it as like kind of like a somber remembrance type thing.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely like disgusts me that all over social media, like maybe not so much on Instagram because you have a little more control over like your feed and your content. But like Facebook for sure, I usually see at least 4 or 5 posts are just like people that I know or are friends of a friend that got tagged in something that are taking a dump on our country and like,
mm-hmm.
oh yeah, this is so shitty, you know, cause we sent kids away to go die for oil for some rich guy or, you know, like don't celebrate 9/11 or don't celebrate, September 12th. When we talked about the day that we had probably the most patriotism and country unity that mm-hmm. we've had in as long as any of us can remember. Right. And people go, well, just remember how poorly all the Muslim people were treated. Remember how, and it's like, well, yes, I'm not saying that any of the things that were said and done directly thereafter are justified. However, my question is always, well, where are you the other 363 days out of the year? Like, why is it only on September 11th that you become this big, mm-hmm. you know, advocate for how people are treated around the, for this very specific reason? And so I find I have issues with people like only leveraging the holiday to kind of like piss on the memory of people mm-hmm. that died, you know, and things that happened. So
at the end of the day, it's our history, man. And it's at the point now where there's a lot of people that either weren't alive when it happened or don't, mm-hmm. I don't remember it. You know, I was 3 years old.
I'll never, oh shit, dude. Yeah. No, I was
born
school.
In 98, man. Like, I think my older sister remembers and my oldest sister definitely remembers. If mm-hmm. my older sister remembers, she was really small at the same time though. She was probably 4.
Oh no, I've talked about it on here. I remember a lot about that day. I remember there was a Tuesday. I remember that my football scrimmage got canceled. Mm-hmm. Like I remember which class we got to watch the TV and which one didn't.
Yep.
Fucking English teacher. She wouldn't turn it on for us. The drama teacher, like who you would think would probably be the most adverse to the drama and you know, military action, she let us all watch it. I remember coming home and sitting in my bedroom and watching the coverage, like
mm-hmm.
you know, I remember all that stuff. So it probably does hit and resonate differently with those of us that are a little bit older, but at the same time, like, you know, I feel like the people that, that post shitty stuff about 9/11 are the same ones that would be lining up at an airport to throw paint on soldiers and call them baby killers. Like, cool. What else did you have to do with your day today? Like you fucking piece of shit.
Yeah. I, at this point, like, regardless of what you think, if it was an inside job or not, or all of the conspiracy that goes into it, I'm conflicted on it. Like, who knows?
Right.
How many people died? 2,000?
Just short of 3.
Yeah. Thousands of people died.
Yeah.
Like, let's have this day to think about those people.
Right.
That's what bugs me.
No, and
that's like, it's our history. What are we going to do? Forget about it. That's what a lot of people are in.
What we do now. Are you
exactly
are you kidding?
Like, that's it. That's for some reason the alternative to a lot of issues is we'll just tear down the statue or rip the flag down and forget about it. That way it will never happen again. I don't know.
I fucking hate that. I think the saying or the phrase or the quote, whatever it is, right, that those who ignore the past are doomed to repeat it.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of credence and a lot of like wisdom in that. Because we're starting to see it, like we're starting to head back towards the way things were not a 1-for-1, you know, but like talk about the Civil War and the raising tensions and the division. And it's again, not a 1-for-1, but like, you know, it's your past. Like you don't like anybody who talks about getting married talks about like, Hey, all these bar salutes that I, you know, screwed around with when I was in my early 20s. And then I found my wife and my life is amazing now and stuff. And like, we don't ever forget about that, but we we look at it like, hey, that's stuff we went through or something to like learn lessons in life. And not saying that you, if you're listening to this in your early 20s, do not go look for bar sluts. Like, don't, don't, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm using it purely as an example based loosely off of my own poor experiences as an early 20-year-old.
I can just hear one of our friends listening to this and go like, don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, I'm going to go out and find her right now. That's my next wife. No, but like, yeah, I hate that. I hate that we just rip everything down. We, you know, oh, well, that's racist. Like, yeah, I mean, it was. We no longer are, or ideally, you know, we're not that way anymore. I know racism still exists. I'm not trying to say it doesn't, but like, honestly, I think that effort towards getting rid of all that stuff, I think it's like, it's just, it's the stupidest way ever to address that those things happened and should never happen again.
Yeah.
Like,
just, yeah, I agree.
Absolute stupidity. But, at any rate, so getting away from that.
That's another episode for a couple weeks.
Yeah, we can, here, I'll write that down. We can totally get that one on the list. Yeah. So you got back,
End of June.
Yeah, end of June. Yeah. So then
we pretty much jumped right into you guys had started the CQB nights at Battlefield CQB, and I jumped into the first 2 days I was home was the first night that I attended with you guys.
It was really quick. You showed up, you're wearing, it's right. Cause you came
I was in the dad shorts.
You came training in your khaki shorts, we had just gotten some US duty gear holsters.
Yep.
And you didn't even have a leg strap on yours.
I just threw the holster on my actual dad like belt, EDC not belt. not my battle belt.
Yeah. And
running it like a CIA contractor.
Yeah.
Or something.
Cause you still had like really bad poison ivy or something from your, yeah, you were red.
Yeah. That itching lasted 4 weeks. It went away a couple weeks ago.
Seriously, that long?
It was horrible. I said I could do a whole episode talking about the horrible experience I had, so I didn't want to just go off talking about Louisiana the whole time. But I grew up, if you listen to my first episode, you know I grew up in the country, running around in the woods, playing army with my brother, and like barefoot through the woods was never a problem. Mm-hmm. Little hobbit feet, just calloused up, you know. Never had a problem with poison ivy, sure. Poison oak. Yeah. And I got cocky being in Louisiana because I saw people start to get it. I was like, oh, I must have got the vaccine for it when I was little because
not a thing.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm so dumb. It's like I'm 3/4 of the way through the rotation. I had nothing. I'm like, I'm good.
I'm impervious, yeah.
Day before we left.
Oh, no.
Started itch. Oof. And then started itch more. And the fun thing about poison ivy is if you itch it, which you're not supposed to, with bare hands and don't wash your hands and itch other places,
it spreads.
Sorry, I don't want to kill the microphone. It spreads. So I had it in all the places you don't want it. I'll just say that.
Oh, you mean like your crotch?
Okay, so I didn't have it there. One guy did.
Oh, ooh.
But I had it. I couldn't sit.
Oh, you had all over your ass?
All over.
Oh, dude.
It was so bad. And then that, thankfully, it didn't last very long, but it was on the back of my, like behind my knee on my left leg, and then it spread down to that thigh, and then it spread over to the other back of like the leg in the same spot.
The back of the knee is like, that's it, like the worst place
it
for
moves,
that kind
it
of
gets
shit.
Rubbed, like every time you walk, and pants rub against it. Yeah.
It's like loose skin back there. It's not like taut skin, like your calf or something where you can scratch it.
I sent you guys a picture as soon as I got back because my left leg was almost twice the size of my right leg, just it had all,
dude,
like inflamed. So yeah, it was still pretty bad when I got back. So I was in shorts because I didn't want anything rubbing against my legs. And I was just like, nobody touch me.
Nobody touch me.
While we're doing CQB and being really close to each other.
Yeah. No, we did. So that's been kind of like a side project that we've kind of been carrying a bit. Me and then Dana, one of the girls from class, when Orion was up here, we've been going to Battlefield CQB. And I'm pretty sure I've talked about this previously. But at any rate, yeah, like once a week, Tim and Nelson, the owners there, are cool enough to open up the facility after games are done, and we go try and share what we learned. And then there's been a couple times, like you've been there twice, two or three times?
Three,
yeah. And John's been there a couple Maybe times, four. And a couple other guys from class, like Max Fox has been there once, Mason's been there once and stuff. And, an opportunity to kind of like just actually have a venue where we can practice, train, run stuff out, vet, different ideas and things. Cause for as much as we got into during that 3-day class, like we definitely didn't get into every look that you can get in a lot of those rooms and stuff. Which has been a really enlightening experience. I don't I don't go into it thinking that I should be like an instructor. You know what I mean? It's interesting though that you see the way some people react and respond, and then the way that some people don't like to be like, they don't like to be taught, like the ego that comes into it a little bit. We've had some interesting experiences.
I think it was your episode with Blake that you just did.
Yeah.
Where you talked about the difference between the caliber of person, I don't think it was his words, I'll just say the caliber of person that shows up to a $600 class versus a $200 class.
Oh, yeah.
And what we're doing is for free. So
that's a really good point.
It's, they're not paying $600 to come and learn from us, God no, right? We paid to learn from the real dudes.
Yeah, who've actually done it.
So it's been a process, but it has been a good process. You guys have been doing it. It's more on your side of town.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's a
so it's more consistent for you guys. I think I've made three. And it's real close to John. So the times I have done it, I just basically follow John home from work, or I came to your house after work, and then
we drove over. Yep.
Any spot that you can train that's out of the ordinary, like your friend's land, say, if you have that option, public land obviously has its pros and cons, or just your basement doing the same runs in your underwear under nods through your living room that I know all of you have done. If you have nods, don't lie to me.
It has to be in your underwear or it doesn't
fucking any count. Any space like that where you can bring all our gear and not have to worry about freaking Karens out is a blessing. And
yeah,
it's
dude.
Been, it's the potential. We've still just cracked the surface on and the potential that we have in that space.
You don't, you're not free of the Karens. They were telling us the business did a float in the 4th of July parade for like Northville or something. Okay. They had people like walking up and telling them they were promoting gun violence because the laser tag rifles, which are, by the way, like a bastard
amalgamation. They look like Nerf MP5s.
Yeah, they're like, it's like an MP5 blended with an AR blended with a 1911 grip.
And
with
a fake EOTech.
A fake EOTech.
But because they don't have orange tips, I don't think they do.
No, they don't.
So they're not like, they're not really contrast colored toy looking things. They look sort of real. If somebody didn't know what a gun was, they'd probably like, think it was a gun.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, super
from
dumb.
From an 80s movie.
Yeah, I mean that, and then, so they dealt with that at the parade, and then they were talking about, like, ADA compliance. That's why all the doorways in that place are so huge.
Yep.
That's because, yeah, they're, like, 5 foot wide for...
People are sprinting through there, probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not even just the sprinting, it's just, like, for people with disabilities, so wheelchair accessibility and other abled folks, I think is the correct term. People who are, you know, wide, they need to be able to get through the door. What? I mean, that's, what am I going to say? Like, differently abled or skinny adverse? I don't
wealthy stomached individuals?
I'm a chunky dude. Like, that's fine. If motherfuckers can get on my shit on the Instagrams and call me fucking fat after all the work I've done, I'm totally justified to say that the shit I just said.
I agree.
But yeah, so we have been working on that for a while, and it's cool because you can actually see there's a handful of the guys that come out, you know, on the regular that are there, you know, Brad and Rob and Tim, the owner and stuff, like just to name a few, right, that are really, you know, have excelled with it and start to understand not just the how, but like the why behind it, like the rationale and how to think through stuff. And you know, again, not saying that I have a ton of the answers or anything, but it is cool to see people pick it up over, you know, once a week for 2.5 hours, you know, and then you basically, you're not actually just accruing all of that time because you kind of got to get back in the swing of things. Like, and then, you know, we've had other people that have shown up later in the process. My buddy Kyle picking things up, he's been really invested in the whole, like, he went from like 0 to 1, right? Carrier, belt, rifle, all this stuff. So that's one of like the broader goals behind all of this, right? The whole community and culture aspect, which is really cool when we start to see it kind of like take hold with people and the buy-in.
When they start showing up without you trying to
have like
kind of make it happen.
Hey, it'd be sweet if you would show up this
time. When you're constantly reminding people and all that. And then when it starts to just happen without your hand being over it, it's a really nice feeling.
Yeah. And to see like the actual growth too, like the actual, like, they grasp the concepts, they come back still having that growth and understanding there and being able to build on it individually and things, and then going out and wanting to invest personally, like, and they go buy a plate carrier and plates and, you know, just whatever gear, right? Because that's gear isn't everything, but like, and maybe I feel like you and I have talked about this before. There is a certain level of like judgment passed based on how much money somebody has spent on this. Like if you're doing everything as cheap as you fucking can, you are probably not where you need to be. And I hate saying that, but it's fucking true. Because if you're running the Amazon $50 plate carrier special with steel plates in it and like an off-the-shelf AR, like how serious are you really? I feel so bad saying that.
The off-the-shelf AR is less true now than it was a few years ago. There's a lot of really good ARs that I wouldn't judge somebody, especially if they're putting, if they're saving money and putting time more into an optic and a weapon light, like a nice weapon light.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't judge anybody that's rocking a PSA, you know.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? Or equivalent, even. Really, there's not, besides like a Bear Creek, if we want to get brand nerd stuff, like Bear Creek is the only thing I'd really see now where I'd be like, why? But then there's some brand that I've never heard of that I'm like, oh, it looks interesting. And then, I don't know, it looks kind of mil-spec, so cool. Like,
yeah.
Well, sit, actually, buy ammo and train.
I actually just had a friend get a hold of me, and I was messaging you and John about this over the weekend. Someone who's, so she's concerned about things that are coming up with like the election and everything. I think a lot of people are, right? But her situation is actually unique in that she's currently going through chemotherapy for breast cancer. So she's very weak right now in terms of like, and she feels really badly about it because she's usually would be a pretty active person. And she's like, yeah, you know, I just like right now I'm just doing a lot of food prepping and canning and food storage. That's like all I can do. I'm like, well, one, that's not like, don't say it that way, because that's the one thing that a lot of people skip out
suck
on.
At. Really, yeah, I was about to say, I laughed not to be an asshole. I laughed because she's better off than all of the guys that are into this podcast, probably, that are way into the gear and the guns and the nods. Like, you got to have food.
Well, yeah.
And if you don't have a wife that's passionate about it, you've got to find ways to get that squared away.
The easy part is just swiping the credit card. Like, we can all just buy gear. Like, that's just, you know, yeah.
That's what I did. I just got all the not freeze dried, but the brand of prep food.
Oh,
that's like
the Mountain House meals.
No, I have some of those, but there's the brand that has like 20
years.
It's like
the big old bucket.
I have like 10 of those things. No, over like two tax periods, I've gotten a good amount of like pantry set up. You know?
I was going to say like, in terms of just like buying gear and rifles and optics and stuff, like anybody can just, but like, and even to your point, like you can buy some of those meals, but beyond that, if you have the skill to know how to
sustain it,
to grow and sustain, like that's like real value, you know? So getting she asked for like a list. She's like, here's my budget. I need to outfit me and my, you know, boyfriend. You know, we don't really have much, like a couple Glocks, that's it. I'm like, well, that's actually not the worst thing. You could be worse. Like, and I think she gave me a budget, and I think I came in like at 50% of it. I was like, listen.
You already have half the guns I would recommend you buy.
Yeah.
I mean, two Glocks.
Yeah, and you have like adequate holsters and stuff. So like, you know, here, take like a baseline Palmetto Armory, like PSA 15.
Their deals are stupid right now, man. I was just looking at a pistol lower that comes with a brace, which braces used to be like a more expensive thing.
Oh,
but
yeah,
they're making some new one. It looks like a Car 15 brace, and it's more of the blade style.
Yep, I know what you're talking about,
The lower complete with that like and a pistol grip was $100. You know, because you were just looking at it, probably. I was looking at it like two nights ago. It's like, dude, it's crazy.
Yeah, you just got to find a good FFL fee.
If you buy a stripped lower in the gun store and pay tax, you're pretty much at $120, $130 bucks.
I mean,
for like a decent lower, you know, like a good lower.
Yeah, so
like
got her
arrow or something.
Got her a list like with that, like Streamlight HLX, which are like $120 bucks now.
You can find those on sale for under $100 pretty reliably.
You used to. I haven't seen them under $100 in a while, but if you can, like even better. A basic Hollow Sun Red Dot, or I think I put down like the Sig Romeo 5 is a good one that a lot of guys really dig. Or the Vortex Crossfire 2.
Yeah, Red we Dot. Love the Crossfire.
Those.
I'd get a Crossfire over any of the Sig Dots, probably.
The Vortex
warranties. The Romeo 5 isn't too bad. And it has the stupid shake awake and the stupid solar panel. Like, I personally would rather just have battery life and only have to worry about that. I don't really care about shake awake personally. There's a lot of guys that love it.
Yeah.
I just like to turn it on. Like, the Vortex Crossfire has good battery life. Probably lasts you about a year at a decent setting.
Yeah. It's a great red dot.
Yeah.
Like, no bells and whistles. Just, it's a great dot. Yep. And the Vortex warranty is
amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then. I think I just like here, here's one or two places you look for armor, like RMA. And I think the other one I showed her was like, here's Ace Link. They have a sale right now. And then here's a Pharaoh Slickster. Here's an option, for their front flap. Like, you know, it's not that hard. I think all of that together for two, again, this is two people was, so this, the carrier, the front flap / placard, sling for the rifle, optic, light, rifle, and armor plates, I think for two people was right at $3,000.
Okay.
And I think her budget was like five.
Oh.
Five or seven or something.
Easy day. She was probably relieved to hear that and then be like, cool, I can actually buy ammo.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And that's, you know, it's like, well, this is no like medical supplies, which you should get.
Yep.
There's no battle belt, which fine, you can function pretty well without a battle belt.
Yeah. It's
no ammo, no magazines, but.
Not to shit on everybody's love for gear, but the battle belt is a little bit of a fantasy gear piece. It is great on the flat range.
Yes.
Obviously, I can't just say that and end it there because you see me running a belt in pretty much every video I'm in because they're awesome. And I love
just too convenient.
Especially the HRT belt. I love it.
Yeah.
It's the first thing I grab if I'm going to the range and don't want to bring everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But if you're just like this individual that's asking, hey, like they're afraid of what could happen in a few months for real. And they're not going to be, they should be training as much as they can, but with her situation, not going to be going to the range and filling up the battle belt and whatnot. Like, I'm assuming you said they have a decent holster, probably a concealed carry rig of some sort.
Yep.
Boom. You can train with that. And I trained with that for a year before I even got my first belt.
Yeah. The unique challenge
you should
with
be
that,
training with that since it's what you'd actually be carrying and the way
it is.
I would recommend somebody just run a battle belt or their concealed carry holster and a pocket med kit, you know?
The unique challenge with that is just, and we talked about this, like the physical weakness.
Yeah.
So in most instances, people would be like, go to RMA, get the level 4 plates. They're, you know, 8 pounds a piece, but fuck it, full sends only. And it's like, yeah, well, okay. So, you know, is that going to be okay? Like if you're just completely mobile and you're not worried about moving anywhere, I would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
And not if loading a bunch of stuff in the plate carrier.
Right. You know, you're carrying two mags and a tourniquet up front or something. Mm-hmm. Like that's fine. However, if you need some level of mobility, given that level of reduced strength and everything, okay, maybe soft armor, maybe the 3A plus, like what I run in my, which makes me sound like such a fucking pussy, but like those 2.5 pound multi-curve plates, like they're fantastic. They're so nice.
I pick up your carrier and it feels like something's broken because of how light it is. Like, wait a minute.
Feels like it's missing one of the plates. Yeah. But there's options, and that's just, it's one of those more unique situations. That's the kind of stuff I actually like. I've had a couple people reach out and they're like, hey, if you were going to build this right now, like what would that look like? And sometimes it's nice. It's kind of a fun challenge in a way too, when you get like a budget or like you get a very vague circumstance and you, like I always try to come in under budget because that's what I hate when I used to post stuff online, like, you know, or see guys are like, I have $2,200 and I want to get my first night vision setup. What should I do? And guys will post like, well, for $3,400, we have these over at whatever night vision.
That's not
shop.
What he asked
like,
for.
Dude, that's not even like adding $100 or $200 to the budget. That's adding like $1,000. Like, stop. You know, or when I was looking to get my first AR, I'm like, I only have like $400 or $500. People are like, save another $400 or $500 and buy a BCM. I was like, no. I don't want to.
Yeah.
You know, and I got a M&P Sport 2 and still have it. Still shoots great.
Yep.
No issues with it. You know, it runs. But yeah, so all kinds of like, you know, side projects and things like that, community building efforts that are going on is really, honestly, really cool, which we don't talk about nearly enough. It's hard to like convey what we're trying to do with all that, like in content. So I don't post about it as much as I would really, really like to.
I love when people start reaching out and asking questions like that.
Yeah.
Please DM me. I don't care who you are. If you want to just talk ideas like that or build out something that makes sense for you.
You guys just all got the green light. So message Josh.
Yeah, bombard me. Ask him for pictures of his Nick.
Feet. Yeah, like.
I know he's going to listen to this. Right now I got one guy that we talk a lot. And we actually, he's the one that got me out to Uncoiled and we shot out there.
He asks you for feet pics?
No, I didn't hear you say that. This is why we need to get the headphones for both our mics.
We can both hear,
because you stuck that in. I would have never known if you didn't repeat it. No, just it's. I don't try to be super vocal.
Yeah.
In my life, around my family and whatnot, about this passion that I have that we talk about on, mm-hmm. on here. And I doubt they really, I guarantee you they don't listen to this podcast, especially every episode. They might've tuned in.
Well, that just means that you're not doing your goddamn job.
Okay.
Well, wait. Okay, no, but you said your mom. Okay, this is not.
You
want to
talk about it now?
Order.
You want to talk about it now? This is
the
last.
No, because my mom had. Okay, so you messaged me earlier today, and you were like, "My mom's asking me preparedness questions." I was like, "Dude, I have this funny like my mom." I showed it to her craft show last weekend or 2 weekends ago, and when she got done, right, she wanted to go get a drink. She's like, "All right, I'll go have a drink with you." Mm-hmm. And she's like, "I want to get a gun." I'm like, "Oh,
whoa."
Okay. Like, well, so my background, like my mom is not like a big gun person. Mm-hmm. Like she's not anti-Second Amendment. She just doesn't
it's
like
just not
them
been
personally.
Her thing.
And it's fine.
Yeah.
But she goes, "Yeah, I want to get one that shoots a beanbag like on Cops." I was like, "You want a shotgun?" She goes, no, I want like a little one.
She get her send her Amazon link to a Nerf rival.
I was like, "Mom, do you think about this for a second? Like, how big is this fucking beanbag? And like, what gun do you want to carry that's going to shoot that?" Like,
just imagine the home intruder taking one to the forehead and then just getting pissed off.
you could just see, like, as I explained it to her, you could see the lights start to click on. Yeah, and yeah. She was like, "Oh, so can I just get a small gun then?" I go, "I really wouldn't if
you
I
can.
Were you."
That's a better step up. It's like we argue online about 22 and birdshot and self-defense. Like,
yep.
And then talk about beanbag effectiveness is just crazy.
Well, and then she's like, "Well, what if I just like tried to shoot the guy in the butt or something?" I was like, "I get what you're trying to say, but here's the thing."
Dad didn't tell you how the range day went last year. You can come out with us and we'll try to shoot him in the butt.
I had to have the very real conversation with her. Like, if you're carrying a firearm for self-defense, Ma, you really shouldn't. You should take the easiest shot you can, which is going to be the center of the body. Like, it's not a, "Hey, I don't want to hurt
them." It's not murder. You're not.
Yeah.
You're not premeditating it. It's just.
It's something people have to make peace with, you know, and it's why we brought up before here.
You're just stopping like, whatever. It's. You're fearing for your life at that point.
Exactly.
You know?
It's the worst day of
your life.
This isn't
an inconvenience, and you're going to pull it out and use it. It is the last resort.
Right.
And it has to, whatever is happening to you, you have to make it stop. Or whatever's happening to somebody else, you have to make it stop.
Yeah. And you have to have that, like.
That's literally it.
That, like, moment with God where you're like, "I know that this is going to change everything." And then do what you got to do. Like, yeah. It's. Yeah, so at any rate, it really ruined her day when I was like, "Mom, you can't, a beanbag, like, it's what's it going to do, hold like one round?"
After this episode, I'm going to Amazon look for some beanbag guns.
I was like, "I think there's some that you can get that are CO2 powered that shoot like pepper balls or something, but like, they only hold like 5 rounds, Mom, like, it's not going to be what you think it's going to be." Like, and I might talk to her, I got to talk to JT, I know there's like it's like a bear repellent, like tear gas substitute type thing.
There's a pepper ball gun that you see get used.
No, there's like a gas grenade he told me about on one of the, when he was on. But he has his wife carry one. So that like
she'll
like,
just drop it and run.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. Because it's bad enough that it will, like, people will just scatter.
Yeah.
And I would rather give, well.
You just got to be careful because it's really easy for that to blow up in your face. I don't know about those specific units, but just. Even pepper spray in general is starting to not really get recommended because somebody uses it wrong, and then it's in your eyes, and you were just about to have something terrible happen to you. Now you're more of a victim.
Now you're definitely having something terrible happen to you.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I don't recommend pepper spray for anybody.
I usually don't either, just because the tolerance to it is not. It's different. You know, it's not as effective as it used to be and stuff. And what did your mom want to know?
So she didn't directly just be like, "I want to get a gun."
Oh boy.
That's just not her. Yeah, I don't see it ever being that way with her. And even my dad and I took a concealed carry class together, and he still doesn't have a pistol.
Like, it's the same. My dad doesn't carry his.
Yeah, so like, it's just not for everybody. And I would never bully or judge somebody for choosing to not do that. It's like the teacher conversation. Well, absolutely not. I don't want every teacher carrying a pistol.
Oh, yeah.
I'm never going to force that on anybody, especially if you're not going to train with it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, make things worse.
But if there's somebody in that position that trains to a high level and would feel like an asset in the time where they would be needed, yes, I would like that person to have it and nobody else know. Different conversation. But no, we got talking on world events. And this whole weekend has been focused on world events for me, where I just came from, talking about just the tensions in the world. And I feel like in the preparedness community, especially in the U.S., we're very fixated on the coming election, the division that's happening inside the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's like our whole world is what we're getting sucked in on while all the craziness has been happening in the East.
Ukraine's invading Russia.
Yeah, yeah, dude. And
like
Russia's, I feel like something's, it's just my leg. It's warm. Okay. I thought I had something overheating in my pocket, like a Samsung phone. That specifically,
yeah.
Russia's military doctrine on using nukes has always been, if their country is invaded, they will use nukes. That's the tension in the world right now that nobody's talking about.
Jesus.
So
yeah, that's good. That's really good. We should.
Nobody's fucking talking about. Like, I think you might have shared it like a few months ago. Like, it's probably during June because that's a lot of people in America's favorite month for festivities.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time that the Axis powers, we'll call them, North Korea, China, Russia, leaders got mm-hmm. together. And our White House was promoting having certain groups, I think it was like celebrities from, not Say Yes to the Dress. Like LGBT people came and visited the White House and it was this huge party
that
fiasco.
Like,
that's what we were promoting while these, our peer, near peer, North Korea, kind of garbage military, but they got nukes. You know. That's what was going on while that was what we're, like, nobody's talking about the elephant in the room on how close mm-hmm. the world is from getting turned upside down.
Yeah.
And we are so fixated on this election and this tension and this division that has been building up pretty much my whole life. Like, I remember the global war on terror being a thing, but like from teenage years for me on, like mm-hmm. there's just been this left-right division getting more and more aggressive, and now I feel like we all feel like it's almost at that tipping point to wrap it into the whole world. That's exactly what our adversaries want. They're loving that our country is so weak right now, and we are about to be the weakest that we probably have ever been this fall, regardless of who gets elected. That change of power and those months from November to January
mm-hmm.
is an extremely weak point. I just came back from a conference. It's no secret. Like the National Guard puts on this conference where they invite members from every state to come talk, meet, network, generals talk about, it's mainly a leadership conference. Everything's unclassified that I might talk about, and I'm not going to talk about a whole lot.
Not
so like, I'm not going to get in trouble for whatever Chinese spy is probably listening to this episode. I'm sorry, because this can't be that exciting for you, but like, that was just the elephant in the room that was talked about. Like,
you say I'm sorry.
The Sergeant Major of the Army, like, I'm just talking purely unclassified. I'm not cool enough to have all the classified info. I hear about stuff in the news just like everybody else does, right? Like the Sergeant Major of the Army was just on a podcast, I forget what, and he had some really good sound bites. I actually like him a lot. This is the first Sergeant Major of the Army that I've, since I've been in, that I've heard that I'm like, I want to listen to this guy talk more.
Good leadership's hard to find.
Yes,
it really is,
especially during COVID. No offense to past, present, or future. There's reasons for everything, but it was a rough time for the military. Everybody can agree.
I'll say it. You don't have to say it, but I'll say, like, I encountered my fair share of poor leadership.
Yeah.
Like, and I just had this conversation with my new boss.
It was a hard situation. I would not have wanted to have been a high-level leader during all that.
There were I don't even know how we got onto it. I was at I work in banking, you know, like in finance, and like had a conversation with my boss, who's only been here a couple of years. And I've only been at this job like 4 months.
Yeah.
And like why she left, like she wasn't planning on it and it just kind of happened and she was pissed. And I think it came back to like COVID policies.
Yep.
Like how they're forcing people to get vaccinated and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
There
were things that were done in the military that I saw as a lower enlisted that mm-hmm. cost me the lives of some of my friends.
Yeah.
During that. Not from combat, not from IEDs. Just
from everything else.
From
the side effects of how we were all forced to live life.
Yep.
Form.
Suicide and drug use.
Yep.
Were just through the roof during that time.
Yeah, mental health nationwide. It's gotten better, but yeah, I mean, we're not designed, biologically speaking, right? We're not designed to sequester ourselves and hide from each other and mm-hmm. go sit in a hole and not do anything but watch the fucking boob tube for, you know, I mean, that was sweet, right? Like the first 8 weeks were like primo, like 2 months of that, like cool. Everyone had a good time.
Not for me, man. After like 2 weeks, I was like, all right, I need out.
No, man, you were telling me you guys eat all those gas station microwave meals and stuff.
Yeah, because like, they were still taking all of our money for food, but they closed our dining facility, so we had to pay for food at the gas station to survive as soldiers living in the barracks.
Man, I got to believe at some point, somebody's going to have a class action for that.
I don't know. They're just, it's already forgotten, man.
Yeah.
But anyways.
So your mom.
So like I was saying about the sergeant major of the army, like everything's getting pushed for readiness.
Mm-hmm.
It's less about the wokeness that we were seeing the last few years and the inclusion. Yes, everybody's still allowed to join the military, and you will definitely get in trouble if you're not saying the right words in front of the right people. Like the wokeness and the inclusion is all there. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But that is not the focus anymore. Like when I went to basic training, it was always when China does this, when Russia does this. Now the conversation, if China does this, if Russia does this, blah, blah, blah.
Now it's when.
Everything
it's
is when now.
Yeah.
And it is readiness. We're talking about that mm-hmm. as a priority. Like unclassified, it's like talked about on mainstream media now. Like China has said by 2027, they will have Taiwan. And people are estimating by the end of this year to the next 3 years, like that's what the focus is. And what does that look like?
I just read the latest Jack Carr book,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure some of you guys listening have too, and they actually utilize that in, mm-hmm. in the storyline because China, because of their like one child per household policy or whatever they had. That
crazy, which we all forgot about that over here.
Well, they got rid of it in 2016 or something, but basically China in the next year or two is going to be at the strongest mm-hmm. that it will ever be. And then like just... numbers wise, like
they've surpassed us basically in technology.
It's gonna go downhill after that.
Yep. We talked about that today.
Yeah. So
they have like a generational gap. Like not a lot of them are having kids anymore. So they're about to be the most manpower, the strongest military they can possibly have, and then it's gonna decline.
Yeah.
And it'll take them 10 years before they can get back up to that point.
Minimum 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen soon.
Yeah. And Jack Carr does a really good job tying in like some of those current event things and stuff. It was the same deal. Mm-hmm. So they could like take Taiwan unopposed and, you know, whatever. And yeah, I mean, I would say that there's a lot to that. I mean, the next 3 years here, 2 years here, mm-hmm. you're really, and that's why I think to an extent, right, why the election's so fucking important.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it just, obviously if it goes one way, right, we're going to have more focus on foreign policy,
mm-hmm.
re-enabling our military, I guess, or repositioning, you know, I guess is the term I'll use. And if
the rest of the world's
going
to be afraid of America again, because it's going to be unpredictable, and it's what we need.
And if it goes a different way,
they're going to keep walking over us and laughing at us
and
while they get stronger.
Flooding our country with Somali fighting age males. And
well, that's the other conversation.
About that as well.
Well, they didn't talk about sleeper cells or anything like that, which I was wondering if they would. That's still in the conspiracy realm because you're just talking about the what ifs.
Oh, I don't think that's in the. I don't.
Oh, you'd be so naive to say that only good people have come through the border in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And there's not organized groups that are planning on doing strikes in strategic areas or just anywhere there's a lot of mm-hmm. innocent people.
There was something on another podcast. I saw a clip like on Instagram. I think it's like Dr. Phil or something like that, but that like Venezuela released a shitload of their like prisoners, like convicts, mm-hmm. felons, to send them up here
mm-hmm.
to get them out of their country.
Yep.
And these are violent criminals.
Just make it not our problem, not their problem.
Right.
Yep.
Right. And it's because everyone knows our fucking border is wide open. So it's
So my mom, the first night coming back from this conference, we all had dinner on Sunday night. And one of her friend's sons is in the Navy, and he apparently freaked her out the other night talking about the tensions in the world. And he was saying pretty much exactly what I was going to said on this recording,
mm-hmm.
is that nobody's mm-hmm. talking about this, and that's the worst part.
Right.
So she was intrigued when she wanted to hear what I was, you know, I basically regurgitated what she had already heard and what was worried about. And her question to me was just, what do I do as a regular person? Like, what can I do? Mm. And I said, start talking about it first, because the biggest issue right now is everybody's just going along with their lives like nothing's wrong.
Well, and that's a societal thing, too, because you get people, like, you have people that lean I'll just say it. They lean to the left. They want to call people crazy and tell them that that's not what you should worry about and that you're some kind of nut.
Trust the experts.
And yeah, just like we do with COVID, right? When all those people said we should trust the experts, it's like, well, people in our military.
I saw three people in Detroit this weekend still wearing masks.
Oh, yeah. I see people driving.
As it threw me off because I haven't seen one in months.
Yeah, I it's been years now. Like,
one of the guys I was with was like, I hope they do for the rest of their lives so that we can always know that that's who they are.
Those are the people that are that out there. Yeah. I mean, it's just, yeah, the whole thing, like, people don't want to talk about it. If you're having a conversation about being better prepared for what's about to come, which what feels like a certainty, not an if, right? But a when.
Yep.
Oh no, you're weird. You're insane. It's like, well, that's what you guys said too when we got it, and then we got into COVID, and you know, people hit me up. Hey, so about buying a gun. Yep. Hey, I'm concerned, you know, because of
I was just making fun of you last week for being a weirdo and an extremist. But could you help me out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. People that you haven't talked to since high school, which I know for you is only like a handful of years, oh, but for up. Like for me, I graduated a while ago now. Yeah. I'm closer to my 20-year reunion than not, and. Yeah. You know, it's like, if I've had a couple people that are like, oh yeah, we should, you know, I'd love to learn how to shoot. I'm like, good luck.
Why not? Go do it. It is legal.
Yeah. Go figure out like, oh, and that's the thing is people are like, oh, hey, do you want to take me to the range? Like, no, I don't. I don't want to take you to the range. We're not friends. We don't talk. You hit me up because you're afraid of shit that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Anybody that's listening that has been on the fence that you know me and you're listening to this like a family member, I will always take you to the range. That's just me though. You know, I love going to the range.
Yeah.
And I love sharing with people. And there's been a few friends, mainly husband of like my wife's friends that have reached out to me to go to the range and it just hasn't happened. Like I get excited to share that because you'll see the side of me that's actually passionate about this stuff. And so she asked like, what do I do to prepare? Like, so at one, when, the time she asked that in the conversation, I thought she was talking about just like literal World War III. And my brain went to like the civilian side during World War II. I was like, well, last time this happened, it was all production back home.
Yeah.
So like we live in a different time. I don't know what it's going to look like. But then I realized what she was asking was prepping. And it just threw me off. You know, whatever.
Well, mom.
Yeah. Which she's always been like a conservative mom. We're a Christian family, homeschooled, five kids. Like we gardened and did a good amount of what people would call, quote unquote, with my fingers for anybody listening, homesteading.
Yeah.
You know, we were pretty self-reliant growing up, but we've moved out to the city in 2016, 2017 timeframe. And it's just been like easier life since then, you know, especially with all the kids gone. They didn't have as much help to live like that. But yeah, it's like, that whole, I mean, have sustained amount, like get your pantry going again. Like we had just talked about, be ready to survive in your own home. Like I jokingly said, like for people worried about nukes, like build a bunker. She's like, well, I don't know if I want to live if that happens. I was like, I understand that. But nukes now are not what people were freaking out about in the 60s and in the 80s, like tactical nukes are very precise, and they actually are designed not to have too much fallout so that Kiev could get nuked by a tactical nuke and they could still use the resources of Ukraine. It would just destroy that city. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like the old ones where you just destroy a whole area.
Wasteland,
you know, they're still obviously it's a terrible, terrible weapon. I'm not downsizing it, but you have a really good chance of surviving what preppers would think is a nuclear attack. And but besides that, I use that as a point to say you should probably worry about your power grid more. And what guys freak out about the EMP is, and just anything cyber, like China could probably turn off your bank account or your, whatever your water filtration plants, I'm pretty sure are run by a lot of Chinese companies, but people don't know that. I've heard
they own a lot of our farmland too,
you know, do research guys. Tell me if I'm wrong. Yeah. Farms, they're buying all this land. Like this is things people are talking about. But the biggest thing is that you need to just wake up and start talking about this with people and stop living in the matrix.
Stop worrying about some weird, you know, like subsect of society's problems that don't impact you.
Yeah.
Like if you're a white suburbanite, like you should probably not be the one leading the charge on like some minorities' lifestyle choices. Like that's probably step number one towards a better overall state of preparedness.
And I brought up the sleeper cell thing, not to just freak her out, but just to like make her aware of like, hey, you know, our border's been open for the last however many years.
Yeah. And it's a good thing to mention just because it's like, well, just because you are not immune from this if you live, you know, more than 40 minutes from a major city and a major border crossing, like
it can happen anywhere.
It can pop up literally anywhere. And for reasons which you may not fully understand, just because the people you live around are of a certain ethnicity or religious belief, that could be a thing. And, or, you know, you have a large, you know, reserves base near you, or, I mean, whatever. There's a ton of different things that it could be the reason why.
Yep. And I bring that up, not telling her to go buy a gun and train and be ready to shoot somebody if there's just a crazy Modern Warfare 2019, the Piccadilly scene of just a horrible terrorist attack. Like, that's not what I'm going to recommend to her. So, like, what are the alternatives for people listening? Or that if you're listening to this and you already are prepared like we are, you're probably all kitted out. Like, what can we recommend for people that aren't all kitted out? Yes, I would love to just pass out night vision to my whole family. If it's dark, you can. It's like Gandalf giving
let there be
giving
light,
the gifts. No, it's the elves in Lord of the Rings giving the gifts.
Oh yeah,
it's the light.
The Mithril vest and
we're in the light wherever in dark places. with a pair of dual tubes. No, but like a communications plan. My dad works out of the city. My mom works in town. My dad works out of town. My mom works in town. Like communications plan. Alternate routes to get home. They live in a good area. Know your neighbors.
When we say alternate routes, like memorized alternate routes, because
and it's something I would like to work on.
GPS.
Now that I work in Detroit and I live where I live, like it is, I got to get out of that, or I'm just locking it down in the armory. Like real talk, and we don't carry ammo in the armory. Like nobody knows this, but like
that's a little fucked.
I don't know if it's a trust thing or whatnot. Maybe we'll see that change here soon with the way some of this higher leadership was talking about getting the states ready.
Oh yeah, for a heightened state of readiness.
Yeah, like without diving into, I don't know how much of everything is I should talk about or not, but like the tone is changing in the leadership from
good.
It has changed from the global war on terror, but now they're being obviously blunt about the focus,
how they're addressing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like China has been in World War II levels of military production since 2020.
Yeah.
What happened in 2020?
COVID.
It's almost like they made the whole world weaker and then ramped up their military production, and since then they have surpassed
somehow relatively unaffected by it.
Yeah. So that's
it's kind of
peculiar, right?
Put the tin foil.
Lots of people died in China. Not saying they didn't. Like it was the highest population in the world. It was very messy.
Yeah.
But it makes you think about the priorities of that military. Like in 2020.
Yeah.
If you look at the military stats,
where they were looking and where we were looking.
Yeah, you can look at graphs that show the military power of the U.S. and China from
the inverse relationship
to 2020, and then when it started to ramp up, now they are pretty much equal to us. Some would argue that they are surpassed us with our allies. They are the more powerful military power now, with us and our allies.
Yeah,
they are over. I'm using a graph with my hands for, we need to get video in some of these episodes. I've been told from friends that wish we had the Joe Rogan cameras.
I wish I had several thousand dollars worth of camera equipment too.
Anyways,
a producer that I could just point at to put videos up on the screen. And
I don't want this to sound like we're downsizing what is going on inside of our country with our border, with the division and the tension that there is right now. Obviously
it's all
every episode. We basically mention the word election, you know,
or border or both.
It's obvious and it's an issue, but
I mean,
we're getting so wrapped up into that. Our enemies, that's what they want.
I think it's important to acknowledge all of it because obviously not everybody, like you're in the military. I'm not like, it's important to acknowledge all of it because like, you may be called to war. We don't have a draft yet, so I say yet.
Well, we have a draft. It just hasn't started. Okay.
We haven't used the draft yet, so I may end up being home fighting a different fight. Yep. Not to say that one is more important than the other. Both are realistic possibilities. Honestly, and it's not to say that if you're more concerned about one than the other, you're not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, they're both realistic possibilities of happening and likelihoods and things. And it's just worth talking about, worth pointing out. Mm-hmm. You know, so let's change gears. Let's do something a little bit more upbeat, and talk about. So we are 3 weeks out from our, we can't really call it an annual trip yet because it has to happen at least twice for it to become an annual trip. But we're going back to the, Human Trafficking Awareness Range Day mm-hmm. in Pennsylvania. So you, me, John, our buddy Steve, and then, our friend Daniel, that we've connected with, who's a good friend of the organizers, is going to be joining us. So we're returning, no RV.
Thank this God. Year. I looked up to the sky, which is Austin's basement floor, in praise and thankfulness to our Lord and Savior that we are not taking an RV
this
year.
If you guys have not listened to our debrief from last year's HTA, you should pause this conversation and go back and re-listen to the hellish recollection of the... I mean, we can give the cliff notes.
It was a great idea.
It was a great idea.
There was a lot more problems and stressors that came with it then.
It was really convenient being able to stay like on site with something that had
a different range that had better elevation, like a flat place where we can safely drive an RV. Cause it was almost borderline unsafe driving it.
We thought that the biggest pro to it was like, hey, we have like running water in a bathroom, only to find out that we did not have. Yeah. This didn't have it and we weren't supposed to use it or something. Steve did. He was the only one that got a shower the whole fucking weekend.
We gave it to him cause she was like, don't run the water in here. Cause it only has enough for like one shower or whatnot. And you have to basically run it in one of whatever, when you go to an RV park and you plug it into the water.
You have to refill the tank.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't have any of that out there, so we were just stuck with what was in the thing. And none of us were RV savvy, so it also didn't
He was
help.
The only one that knew anything about an RV.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a cool idea, and then the generator leaked fumes into the cabin.
My sinuses.
Yeah, Josh got really sick.
I almost died.
Sick.
I couldn't breathe through my nose for 3 days.
Yeah, Josh got really, really sick.
I sounded like a different person.
I mean, we met some really cool people, which is why we're going back. Like, honestly,
I love BFR.
Total blast. It's a great facility up there. What are you taking this year? You're taking two classes.
So I don't remember two classes. I don't remember the title of the
one of them is the precision rifle.
Yeah. Carbine, I think, is going to be the focus. It sounds like so mainly like AR platforms shooting to 700 yards. So more of a lower round count, precision, like match ammo focused gas gun class.
That'll be fun.
I can't wait. Really cool. I have an LPVO built out setup. You can call it a recce rifle, even though that's super cringe, but I'll let it slide. That's kind of how it started back in 2019 when Grantham coined that. You know, his mountain video, and I wanted that build. You know,
I don't think he coined that phrase.
He did.
I don't think he did.
Oh, he did. He totally did. They were joking about it on the Art and War podcast because he was like cringing that became a thing when it was about a rifle system instead of an actual mission. Which
when
is
he
what?
Did his BCM 13.9 review or whatever.
It was that or the Deadly in the Mountains, like the first one. He called it a recce. I think. Who knows?
It was
what
old school Grantham when he just had the black backdrop.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause he had like a 1-4 scope on it and stuff.
Now 13.7 is really popular. So I'd say like a 13.7 to a 16 inch, mm-hmm. ideally a 14.5 M-lock rail with an LPVO has been the quote unquote recce rifle. And that was a trend for a couple years, especially when LPVOs were the hotness. They still kind of are, but it's evened out. Just like people God damn it, instead of this is a trendy thing.
You don't see guys taking a 10.5 or 10.3 upper and putting a 1-10 on it and calling it a mini recce.
Right.
Which I think is retarded. So, but
I don't you've heard me talk in person in our conversations. I don't know if I've really talked about it on the podcast. I don't really like LPVOs the way I shoot.
Yeah,
I'd rather just have more magnification, and with a top mounted red dot, I never turn it to 1x. So I'd rather get the pros of a wider objective lens, light transmission, eye box, all that I would get with a real scope.
Right.
Maybe say like a 2-10 on the low end, you know, and then just use the offset red dot for 1x things.
Either like calling out landmarks or something or any of the stuff that goes with that.
So I've thought about changing that rifle setup up for a couple years now, even though I hardly touch the damn thing. So...
But that's what you're taking.
Yes. I'm using that at this class, which they recommended... when they finally got the packing list out, a 10x or greater, but it wasn't required. So I'm bringing the 1-6 because it's what I've got.
Daniel's bringing to is either 1 to 6 or 1 to 8. So
right. So before I come to my full conclusion, I want to actually take a class on it, shooting out to real distance. At our range, we're blessed that we get to shoot out to 200, but 200, I wouldn't even really call it long range.
No,
it's you're still basically using a center mass hold at 200.
We have 50-200-0, so
50-200, yeah. And then even a 100-yard hold, it's just a couple inches of drop. Mm-hmm. It's at best, your second chevron is going to be your bullseye at 200. But for my scope, it's still over that with 77 grain ammo. Getting that thing more optimized, and like I changed where I placed the scope because I noticed in the prone, I was extending my neck a little too much, so I actually brought the scope back. Like these last month or so, maybe almost 2 months now, knowing that I signed up for that class, I've just been zeroing with it, playing with like grouping it. Mm-hmm. It really likes 77 grain ammo. It's a 1-in-7 twist barrel. It doesn't really do good with 55 grain. It's a 3 MOA gun at best with 55 grain is what I've been able to squeeze out of it, which is still mil spec for a combat, like fighting.
Sure.
Carbine.
At 200 or 100?
At 100. Like 100. Just MOA groups, like 10 shot groups at 100 is kind of how you... Mm-hmm. MOA just means 1 inch at 100, so, you know, two MOA would be a 4 inch group at 200, if that makes a little math conversion, whatever. 77 grain, I was able to get consistently actually doing like a 10 shot group with not a very good target about 1 MOA, which I can shoot a 5 shot group and they are all be touching at 100 yards, but I wouldn't call that sub MOA. Like when I shoot a 10 shot string, I was able to squeeze a lot of them were inside of like around a half inch, but there were a few outside. So I'll call it 1 MOA because people have been getting picky about that online. Yeah. Like they're gas guns. They're not going to be as accurate as bolt guns, right? So that's really good for a shorter barreled AR. And I like the 13 range because I can put a full size suppressor on it and it's still about the size as a 16 inch and 18 inch, you know.
What are you taking for your second class?
Sorry, I'm talking about classes way too long. So I'm excited about that first class to really test that build and you know, get comfortable with that. It. Right. Out to 700 yards, it's going to be awesome. I've only ever shot out to 400 consistently. It was at the competition last year up north, and that was with an ACOG. So.
Was it the Governor's 20? Oh, my God, did you get a patch?
Oh, my God, am I wearing the patch right now? I'm in uniform still because I just got back from this conference.
So. Oh, yeah. Were you excited to put that on, just so everybody knows?
Yeah, I actually wore it today for you. No.
Lies.
Yeah, it's a lie. It looks like a Ranger tab from far away, so guys get close to me like, oh, you're a nerd.
Yeah, you're not actually cool. You just
no, people in the Guard like it, but if you, like an active duty person saw this, they'd be like, oh, you're a nerd. Because it's not a Ranger tab. And you're in the infantry, you don't have a Ranger tab? Pogue.
Pogue.
So second class, it's just talking about sleeper cells and whatnot. I feel like it's going to be the focus of the second class. Yeah. So it is what it,
counter-terrorism
carbine. Counter-terror carbine.
Joe's teaching that one. Gray Fighter. You guys might know him better by Gray Fighter.
Yes, and I still need to listen to your episode with him because that came out while I was in Louisiana.
I
haven't listened to it yet, and I've told myself I'm going to listen to it before HTA.
Great discussion.
So I can, learn from
it. It's actually less of a discussion, more of his story is, like, incredible.
Yeah.
So really, really, really cool.
I need to go back and on your posts and find that probably this week when I'm going to work or something. So that, I think it's on the turf area.
Yeah, their ranges at Ben Franklin are all astroturfed instead of just like dirt and mud, which is kind of awesome.
Yeah, so I would guess around 50 yards is going to be the max of that class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
maybe he'd be able to squeeze out 100. I don't know how big those ranges are though.
I would
probably around 50.
Yeah, it's 50. I would not say you can get 100 out of that.
So it'll be a much more high round count. It's a 500 round rifle. I think 300 pistol or something, 200 pistol, something like that.
Oh, there's a pistol component to it.
Yep. So it's carbine, battle belt, load bearing equipment if you want it. So I'm bringing my slip plate carrier, and it is that just Minuteman, the stuff I keep staged at my house to throw on.
Sure.
With loaded mags and the placard and all that. Like, that's what I'm bringing to that class. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. That sounds like it. I know a lot of guys signed. I think your class on Sunday morning has like all of our friends in it. Like, everybody in our group minus me. is going to that because my class is a day and a half, but like Nick and you and John and Daniel and Steve, like everybody,
Steve and
Rico,
maybe,
I think like all of our buddies from Michigan are gonna, and it's weird, there's only like 16 slots in that class, but like I feel like we know everybody but 4 people that are signed up for that.
I've barely shot besides Steve, I've barely shot with the rest of those guys, so it's gonna be a really good learning experience and a good bonding experience. I'm excited to train that kind of stuff with John because, yes, we did the competition, last year.
Last one that we had to leave early for while you had an aneurysm over getting home
chill.
On time.
Chill.
Listen to last year's episode. Yeah, everybody go listen to last year's episode and hear about how Josh made us leave early.
Yeah. So, but like I work with John. He's at, you know, at the armory we work at. So I'm excited to do this. It sounds like it's going to be a lot more dynamic, high round count. I don't know if he's adding buddy teams to it or not, but it's going to be a really good time. And last year I took small unit at HTA, which if you haven't signed up yet and there's a space for that, I highly recommend.
There was like four spots
open. If you heard from Blake in the last, was it last episode?
Yeah, last Blake, yeah.
Last episode was with Blake, like highly recommend that class if you've never have an introduction to maneuvering with a small organized unit and security and patrolling and all that great stuff. Even if you've done it in the military, it's a really good way to see how Blake has translated to teaching that to regular people, which I think I broke down a good chunk of that episode in review talking about that class. But there's no shooting in that class. So this year I was really excited to just get as many rounds through as I can.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going to be really stretching my ability and hopefully surprising myself with the long range class. So what are you taking at HTA, Austin?
So last year I took the four-man CQB, like the, or I think it was like, it's an abbreviated introduction to structure clearance. Mm-hmm. So this year it's the same course, but two-man.
Yep.
And I think that's just because it's just Jared from Orion that's giving it. They weren't scheduling conflict or something, like Joe wasn't able to make it this year. So I actually signed up to take that because I've not, all of my instruction to this point has been in a four-man group. Mm-hmm. So I kind of want to see how it changes when you cut your manpower in half and everything. So I have like some preconceived ideas, right? Yeah, yeah. Of how shitty it's going
to
be.
It's going to be fun, but there's a lot more danger and a lot more to worry about.
Well, and it's just, it's like Ben Franklin has a really nice facility. Like they have a 2-story shoot house. It's not ballistic, but it is a really nice shoot house. It's got, you know, doors. It's, I forget, when we had Ryan, one of the owners on, he said, I want to say it's like a 4,000 square foot shoot house, like if you count upstairs and downstairs. It is it's very legit. Sizable venue, so taking the opportunity when I can, because that's, you know, one of the things I just wanted to jump in on. It sucks that I can't be in the rifle class with you guys on Sunday, but at the same time, you know, hopefully I bring back just like more information and stuff, and it kind of helps feed into some of those other projects and things that we are talking about in the beginning, and you know, all that good stuff. I'm looking forward to the whole thing. Like we did the Airbnb this year, like yes. Daniel messaged us this morning, like, hey, I had a friend that killed a pig. Can I bring all of this like frozen pork for breakfast on the trip? Like, you absolutely, like, we're like, last year we ate really well. Like, it was probably one of the highlights of the trip. Like that leg of lamb.
Yeah, we brought my grill and Steve cooked up some lamb the first night.
And then we did those steaks that I got the second night. Yeah. We ate really well on that whole trip. Mm-hmm. Like really well. And I know a lot of people were very jealous because they were busting out like PB&Js and we were grilling MREs. Steak. Yeah, I'll get the steak. Like I'm good with that, you know. So that should be a really good time. I believe there's, and I don't know because I haven't been posted about it yet, but I believe there's like meet and greet stuff that's scheduled like Friday night when everyone gets there. So we actually found like a killer Airbnb that has like a hiking path and
it's 40 acres, right?
Yeah, it's like 40 acres or something, and like a plinking range out back, which I don't know how much of that will really do. Given you guys are already spending a ton of ammo the next day, maybe we'll do a little bit, but like
I might bring a 22 or something,
yeah,
with a suppressor. That would be fun.
Yeah, just a little fella,
yeah,
just for funsies. Yeah, I mean, like it should be, and there's a fire pit out back and stuff, like it should be a really, really cool like bro trip, you know, just to get together, meet up with a bunch of people on Friday night. Get to meet more people, obviously, Saturday. They do the raffle. You know, and the nice thing about this whole event, right, is all the money goes straight to Deliver Fund to combat human trafficking, which is obviously a really, really good cause. Mm-hmm. And it's really reasonable. I think it's like $200 to get into the class. I think all said and done.
It's like, $200 to get into the event. So, like, getting those two classes, but it's all for that one payment.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think all said and done, we're at like, I mean, assuming or some broad assumptions on food, but it's about $400. It's $200 to get in. I think we paid like $160 a piece for our Airbnb. And then let's say you spend $40 on food, pay a little bit more. I don't know. And then gas, you know, but like that's actually really not that bad for like a weekend away with your buddies at a very specialized facility that you don't find all over the place, supporting a really good cause. It's going to be pretty cool. Plus the raffle. Because you won last year. You got that.
I got the Geissele trigger I'm using in this long range class.
Yeah,
you. It was SSAEX, which I guess came out like last year or recently.
Geissele donated
a bunch of stuff. The SSAE has been one of the most popular Geissele triggers, and then the X, I guess, made it a little more extreme or something. It's like a $350 trigger.
That's insane.
And I wanted to sell it when I first got it, but then I installed it, and I was like, I like this a lot.
See, and I was just happy with the ALG that I got.
The ALG. That's what I run in my SBR. I really like two-stage triggers for precision guns, being able to just rest on that wall and then just break it nice, and it's super light. I ran the LaRue two-stage. I think it's the MBT-2S is the meticulously built trigger two-stage by LaRue. And for like $100, that's probably the best trigger you could buy for a two-stage at least.
Yeah.
The ALG is like $70-$80. I love that trigger too. That's a single stage. It's just a really refined mil-spec drop down a little bit
lighter. Is what I was looking for.
It's a great upgrade from when you train on a mil-spec and get really used to that. And then getting that upgraded, smoother pull, a little bit lighter is just
like less grit.
It's a fantastic jump up. For the two-stage world, the LaRue was great, and it's been reliable. You hear great things about them. It was just a little bit heavier, and it broke. It never broke where I thought it was going to break. And obviously, if you train with only that, that's not going to be a problem after a while. But I just wished it was like that little bit lighter. And this Geissele is like a pound lighter than the LaRue.
It was that difference.
It's like a 1.5 pound break or something.
How much did you spend on raffle tickets to get that one?
I think like $20. I only put like one or two tickets on it. It didn't have that many because there were so many other great things. Everybody was dropping on that Geissele upper.
Yeah, and I know the John HRT was really belt. Upset when
and I just saw the Geissele sitting there. I'm like, I think I put it on that and then something else. Didn't get the other thing, and I got that. I was very happy.
Yeah, there's some pretty good prizes that get donated. And then I don't know what's going on Saturday night this year. Last year they did a night shoot, which we won't get into, but I'm hoping there'll be some kind of shenanigans going on Saturday night because it's a great place to walk around with nods.
I was just
going to
say that.
Like,
you're in the middle of nowhere. No
starlight.
No, what is it?
There's no ambient light coming from the city or anything like that.
Pollution.
Yeah.
You know, from nearby cities and stuff. It is just straight stars.
Everybody is running their illuminator because there is no light to draw from. But
I hope there's a moon this year.
Yeah, last year
there was no moon last year.
Yeah, we were down in the valley that first night walking around.
That was cool.
I flipped my tubes up and I was like, dude, I can't see. Because everybody turned their lights out to go to sleep. It wasn't like there was lights from RVs or tents or anything. Like, it was dark.
And it was overcast, too.
Yeah.
So there was no moon and there were clouds.
The
first night, it was dark.
That was a real crash course in, reading terrain through tubes. I remember walking with you. I'm like, is that a puddle?
I was talking you through it more.
Yeah.
Again, imagine you're walking with your eyes closed and you're seeing with your feet. So you're just being really aware of what you're feeling and rolling heel-toe. And then just keep doing that and it'll become more natural. And I think that was a really good little micro learning session.
We had really good weather for all of it and stuff too. I mean, we just made the mistake of leaving open the hatches in the RV. It was super cold when we woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning, but looking forward to that too. Like not climbing all over each other in the morning to like get dressed and get food and everything.
And having internet at the Airbnb to be to upgrade Instagram to keep you guys
updated.
And we'll have pictures from class and whatnot that you guys can see that weekend and hopefully have a good time to film some YouTube content. And videos and whatnot on that. Just 40 acres is freaking awesome. There's a lot of training opportunity we can even have just spending a weekend there.
Yeah.
So hopefully we're not so swamped at the end of the training days that we still have some juice, some gas in the tank to train a little bit under nods on the property that we'll be staying at. I think that would be a really good opportunity.
It'll be an awesome trip. By then you'll have you're going through the housing swap process right now.
Yes.
So you're going from your PVS-14 into a set of RNVGs.
Yep.
So you'll have duels. You're like sitting here, like shaking like a fucking
crackhead. You just saw my body language change. I just started like nervous, bouncing my hands. I am so excited. Like I said, 6 years with single tube. I've worked with a PVS-14 and a PSQ-20 when I was on active duty.
That's the thermal thing, right?
Yeah, still a single tube. I'm guessing it's L3 because I always noticed that tube was cleaner, better specs, probably.
Okay.
But it's still a green single tube, and then it had a little bit of, it had another thermal sensor on it so you could turn on a thermal overlay. It's still pretty dated. There's better stuff now, but I love it. I would probably own one if it wasn't $20,000. It's crazy how expensive that thing is.
If it wasn't for how expensive fucking
but that thermal capability, turning it on and turning it off really quick, I know I sound like a a G.I. Joe hero, but like it saved my friends' lives on the force-on-force training I did with it, because I was able to spot a machine gun nest before we took contact and call it out.
Yeah.
You know? It's cool. But yeah, so I am very comfy on a single tube.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to set me back for a second on having both eyes occluded, because in a way, I feel like what people talk about, depth perception and awareness.
Yeah.
Being able to have my regular eye helps me walk around
normal vision, yeah.
in the real world, even if it's dark. So I think for a second I might get sucked into. I'm guessing, because I really have only put yours on and stayed stationary and looked around and been like, oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the night vision demo last HTA, I had a really nice high spec aviation grade L3 crazy tube.
I think they were DTNVSs.
That, yeah, it was nuts.
They had like as a demo thing you could like try.
It was
and
like
look
2800 FOM.
Yeah, just ridiculous specs.
And we said it was dark. It made everything look like daylight. It was insane resolution on that thing. Like. But I was standing at a table. I wasn't moving. So,
yeah.
RNVGs are super simple. Right. I'll probably work the little...
the irises.
Iris lenses to be able to change the brightness, because an RNVG is fixed. It's either on or off.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I've watched some of the T-Rex Arms content when they're running those housings, and they don't have any of the irises. They seem to be fine with it, but those are also white FOS. High brightness green can fatigue your eyes a little faster.
Okay.
From my experience. But they're freaking sturdy. Like, you don't have any of the articulation.
So everything that AB makes is built like a tank.
I was already so excited when you mentioned that this was going to be a possibility, that they were going to upgrade my PVS-14. I didn't really care what housing I got. So, and I have never done research on all the different housings.
Mm-hmm.
And when you mentioned RNVG is what they agreed on, like, I was like, cool, let me research it. And you know, I'm a really simple dude. I run a quad rail and a bomb-proof red dot that we got, like... And a Surefire suppressor, super boring.
It's an LP1.
A Glock 19 with an RMR, super boring. But I love stuff that I can bang around and not have to worry about.
Yeah.
So that is still, people are saying, like, the most rugged, it's literally called the ruggedized knife.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, it's, there's a reason why it hasn't been phased out, like Sentinels or some of the older, you know, options that people like invested into. It's
just a chunk of aluminum that
doesn't fucking break.
You can change the width of the tubes to match your eyes
distance,
but it doesn't have any of the articulation or moving pieces. It's just chunks of aluminum.
Yeah,
and it's a really good switch to from a PVS-14, because it uses the same lenses and
focus and stuff,
diopters, so the focus adjust is exactly the same as a PVS-14.
Mm-hmm.
Your on off switch is almost in the same spot. I think it's on the outside instead of the inside.
Okay.
And then your IR flood is the same exact way as a PVS-14.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll be able to swap over pretty flawlessly, I think. I've even seen PVS-7 diffusers that you can put on the flood and, like, open and close it. And I've seen dudes, like, can shine their IR floods, get in a nice focus beam out to, like, 100 yards.
Oh, I've never even heard of that
like,
before.
It looked like I was watching a dude out. He's like, I think that's like 100 yards, and he was still hitting trees with it. Like, it almost looked like he had a Surefire Vampire just from putting a little PVS-7 upgrade.
That's what I wish somebody in our group would get. I really want to fuck with the PVS-7. I really want to. It would make it
I've never looked through them. I've heard so many horrible things about them. So those were the standard issue when my wife's parents were in, in the 90s.
Yeah, in the 90s.
So, like, I the only thing I've really heard operationally from family members that had them issued to them was that somebody died in NTC driving, and they drove off a cliff because they didn't see it in time. PVS-7s are not that great.
Well, I mean, that also...
There's also tons of variables that go into that.
That's also Gen 2 tubes versus you can get them with, like, retrofitted Gen 3, but if you're going
to... You're really close to getting to PVS-14 prices.
Yeah, the tube is what... Like, with anything. Mm-hmm. The tube is what costs you the most money. Like, when you're talking about housings for most night vision...
PVS-14 tubes
are
not that expensive. The housings are $400 brand new.
For a PVS-14,
yeah,
just
the housing and battery pack,
yeah, with no like push button pack or anything like that.
I see them on TaxSwap for like $200.
Yeah, what gets all the money is like when you get into like dual tube setups, obviously, and stuff. But even like the dual tube setups, the housings themselves, like they top out at like $2,000. Like that is as expensive. Yep. Not to say that's not a lot of money. But when you consider that some of these setups are going for $8,000 to $10,000 to $12,000. You really start, and your mil spec optics are about $400 of that.
Yep.
So like that's $2,400. The rest of that is the cost of the tubes,
mm-hmm.
the intensifier tubes. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would like to play with one. I know some people are like, it's better than nothing, and I believe that if you can get them with like a decent like Gen 3 Omnitube,
because then you could keep it.
Yeah, I would say that's like a very viable option.
Absolutely,
as long as it's a Gen 3 tube and not like a Gen 2.
Yeah,
because that's the Gen 2 stuff is when you have like you literally do have some of those depth perception and like image quality issues, just because
the way they react to light sources too is a lot worse.
Well,
because, and they don't auto gate, I don't think, like Gen 3
does.
Yeah,
they have. Yeah, I mean, because people don't realize Gen 3 is what everyone's like, oh, you have to buy Gen 3. And then you have some people that are like, oh, not really. Gen 3 was new in like 98.
Yeah.
Like, it's that fucking old. It's almost 30 years old. So if you're buying Gen 2 tubes, you're buying technology that is like first generation Game Boy, like just by comparison. So it's not to say that it's not valuable, but you're certainly, I mean, if you're buying the bottom of the barrel budget line stuff, you have to understand you're probably going to have a couple strings attached to it. Not to say you can't get better with it, because with practice you can overcome pretty much anything, at least in the night vision realm. But yeah, I just want to play with one because it looks cool.
It's that dangerous edge of saving money to where you might end up spending more money once you finally arrive where you originally wanted to be.
Yes.
Because if you buy PVS7s, you can't get a dovetail mount, so you got to buy a Rhino mount or a different mounting system.
Yeah, that's true too.
To support that. And then if you do swap those housings over and pay to get that work done, now you have a PVS14 and you want to get that dovetail mount or a nice J-arm.
Then you got to get all like a of that price. And
the only thing that would make that worth it to me is if you were really training with what you had before. So, but by the time you get that nicer unit, you're already kind of hot shit walking through the woods in a PVS-14.
Yeah, you're already
versus
really
the guy that
capable.
Waits 3 years saving for only dual tubes and still never has any time under night vision.
I tell people all the time, like you know, oh, I need to have duals. Like, why don't you just try a single tube? I think you'd be really surprised at how satisfying that is, and also at how many people still don't have a single tube. Like, it's still like night vision is more obtainable now, I would say, than it even with the prices going up a little bit. More obtainable now than it's ever
than
been.
Ever. Yeah, especially with all the new offerings they have.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised like how many you go out, and I think a lot of people take it for granted, like go out to training groups and you have like 12 dudes and like two of them have night vision.
Yeah.
And for that reason, like, you don't do night vision training because like the two of you going to sit there and play tummy sticks like while the other 10 guys just wander around aimlessly? Like, no, you're going to like be a team player. You can work on low light and stuff like that.
Introduce the guys to it and encourage them to start saving or maybe sell 15 guns.
Yeah, don't...
Not 15, probably could sell 3 guns and have a good entry
level
set. Yeah,
I mean, if they're decent quality firearms, or if they've been buying, like, Taurus and Kel-Tec everything, then maybe, you got to sell the ranch.
There was a dude on the Barrel and Hatchet podcast that shoots with them in their group and does all their open gym training sessions and stuff, and he's an older guy. Kind of reminded me of Steve Sori. He's older than Steve. He's, like, pushing 60, that guy on that podcast.
Yeah.
But he said he sold once he finally took a class and realized that he's been shooting his whole life and was not at the level he thought he was and wanted to seriously up his game. He said he sold 24 guns.
Wow.
Of just garbage guns that he had from just like, I think of the industry guns, the stuff that they always advertised back in the day.
The stuff you always got
the
on
new,
sale.
The new Kel-Tec, the new whatever, this Ruger. Like, he said he had 24 guns that he just got rid of and just put it all towards quality kit. And he's a fantastic shooter. He's probably a better shooter than me. I've seen him in some of their competitions and stuff.
Now.
Really cool to see.
Yeah.
Not to sound like that guy, but
you know. So we got lots of stuff going on, you guys. We're kind of at time, but wanted to, you know, obviously clue you guys in on where, like, it's not like I didn't stop talking to Josh. I talked to him pretty much every day, much to the chagrin of his wife. She's got jokes. We'll leave it there. That's it. But so we wanted to like get everybody caught up on kind of what's been going on and what is going on and what's soon to come and things like that. So, you know, appreciate you guys listening in. Hopefully you enjoyed all of this, got something out of it. Like we said, if you're still potentially it's the weekend, September 13th, 14th, 15th. If you guys are in the Pennsylvania area, may want to attend. The HTA event is a great opportunity to learn from some really good people and support an awesome cause. But that's all we got for you guys this week. Thank you so much for hanging out and listening. Stay safe out there, everybody. And until next time, like we always say here, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.